used vehicles from individuals. That helps a little, but isn't that just common sense? That's what we do. The amended version also states that we can buy rental cars that have been in service for 6 months. That's the last one that I heard. Sounds pretty generous. Well, in most cases, the rental cars in Alaska show up in May and are sold in September, after the tourists leave. And some of these vehicles will be sold directly to dealers, but most of them will be sold at auto auctions. At that point, how are we supposed to know how long they have been in service? An auto auction is a great place to buy vehicles for resale. Imagine looking at 1,500 vehicles. These are out-of-state auctions, ranging from a 57 Chevy to a 2003 Ford Focus. They run the vehicles at a rate of one car per minute. It's a great place to see American capitalism at work. Buyers and sellers all in one area. When you purchase a vehicle at these dealer-only auto auctions, you get a title for that vehicle when you pay for it. It's that simple. We ship these vehicles to Alaska for resale on our lots in hopes of a profit. I don't want to be an Alaskan dealer at these auctions and see good used vehicles go by that we could sell due to an Alaskan-only law forbidding us from buying and selling these vehicles. And that's what it would be, an Alaskan-only law. It seems a little restrictive, the way it's currently written. The Bill 272, Section 1, is really about selling imported vehicles in Alaska. It is currently legal to buy a vehicle that has been imported from another country. That would be a Honda, a Suzuki motorcycle, anything imported. It is currently legal to import vehicles into the United States, as long as it's been done properly. And that's the question. We as dealers have nothing to do with the actual process of importation. We purchase an imported vehicle at an auction, you wouldn't even know the difference. We get the U.S. titles from the auction companies. At this point, they've already been imported. At this point, there are also already American vehicles with U.S. clean titles. The registered import agents handle the paperwork at the and the speedo changeover. The registered import agents are controlled and regulated by Customs and the Department of Transportation. It's actually the department. That's correct. Which is part of Department of Transportation.
Pam, if you're going to testify, you have to identify your name.
Sorry about that.
Going to come up later. Okay.
Right.
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear the name of the agency.
The National Transportation. I have it here. It's a mouthful. She'll be able to tell you here in a second.
She can tell you,
and
you
this
say
is
it.
DOT, let's just say Department of Transportation in Washington, D.C. They seem to have no problem with this activity. Any questions pertaining to imported vehicles should be directed to them, for I am not an authority on this matter, nor is anyone who is not a registered import agent or working or administering the process. So I'm asking you, the members here, to help me keeping the free trade of used vehicles, regardless of year, safe in Alaska, by deleting Section 1 or at least holding this bill until you have all the facts. This bill says nothing about Canadian vehicles, not a peep. It's only about restriction, and this is not a state issue. This is a federal trade issue. And that basically concludes what I have to say. Dealers are not importers, and I think that might have a lot to do with the complications. The guidelines that the registered importers are under, the process is very lengthy, and here's a sheet of paper, and we can distribute them to all of you, which breaks it down.
I'll let you get to that.
And it's very lengthy. The chance of odometer fraud or anything like that appears very, very unlikely. They are under a very, as near as I can tell. Once again, these questions should be directed to them. So the vehicles that we're buying currently are good used vehicles for the Alaskan public.
Senator Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Arpino, my question, I guess, goes to the idea that you have indicated, and I just would like you to expand a little bit on your relationship with dealers, current dealers, I mean dealers that within our area. How do you relate to the dealers in our area with regards to the accusation of predatory pricing, et cetera?
Well, the accusation of predatory pricing is not accurate because the vehicles are not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. These vehicles are used. The consumers are aware that these vehicles are used. There's no misunderstanding that they're pre-owned units. When you buy a used vehicle from a dealership such as Affordable Used Cars, which a lot of people do, there are certain things that you don't get that you get from a new car manufacturer. You don't get the nice showroom. You don't get a parts department, a service department. There are certain things that you do, and that's the risk that consumers take. And if they have a legitimate problem, they would contact the Attorney General's office. And that office has no bones about straightening businesses out. They run a great organization there in Anchorage. Sniffen in particular has been very helpful in getting everybody on the same sheet of paper, with the exception of this Canadian issue, which is not a state issue. It's a federal issue. Importation of goods into the United States goes on. If anybody here drives a Toyota pickup, that vehicle is imported. At this point, this bill will say that this particular vehicle cannot be imported because it's coming from Canada. Are we going to then stop importing vehicles from Germany? Are we going to stop motorcycles, refrigerators? Where does it stop? The relationship that I have with the dealers is very good. I'm currently on the board with Mr. Allwine here, and we see a lot of things eye to eye. This particular one we differ on. But overall, the relationship with used and new dealers is very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further questions for Mr. Arpino? Thank you, Mr. Arpino. Next. I'm sorry, Mr. Crawford, Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill, as it's currently written, would this allow franchise dealers to import Canadian vehicles where you wouldn't, or would this, as it's written, make it illegal for everybody to sell current model Canadian cars?
The way I read it, it's there is not, I don't believe, a lot of new car franchises buying previously imported vehicles that I'm aware of. There are some. There was a lot in the past, but now they're staying away from it because it helps this bill process, I believe, pass. The way I read it is it would limit the ability for us to go to auctions because it doesn't specifically say in there that we can go to auctions. The Canadian issue, if you allow auctions, us to purchase vehicles at auctions, those imported vehicles from Canada are running through these auctions. We are not involved in the importation of those vehicles, so they are just available for us to purchase. And the only way that you can tell that a vehicle is imported is you would look on the door, and there'll be an authorized import sticker. And you want to make sure that is there, because that tells you that the vehicle was imported properly in the United States. If there's ever a question, it's the first place you go. It tells you who imported it, when it was imported, whether it meets all the requirements. And then at that point, the seller, whoever that might be, gives you a free and clear title, whether it's an Alaskan title, Washington title, Utah title, wherever you are. Does that answer your question?
Closer.
Okay.
Mr. Arpino, let's get your colleagues from out of town here on their testimony, too.
The way I read it, in short, Crawford, is it would give them that ability. It would not be extended to us. The way I read it. Thank you.
We have Terry Petrum and John Lieberger.
Hello, my name is Terry Petrum, and thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to speak today. We didn't think we were going to be able to.
I'm sorry.
Whom do you represent?
Leibergers.
What you need to do is say your name, who you're representing.
I'm Leibergers Car and Truck Sales.
And where is that located?
Anchorage, Alaska.
And that's where you're from?
Mm-hmm. In testimony heard by those supporting House Bill 272, Section 1, several concerns were mentioned in regard to the importation of Canadian vehicles for resale. It's odd, though, that the word Canadian is not in the bill, except debate from supporting parties always leads there. So while Leibergers isn't actually importing the vehicles themselves, I'm going to go ahead and address a few of those issues for you. One was odometer discrepancies. Two was voided manufacturer's warranties. Three was the availability of mechanics and technology to repair newer vehicles. Four was recall notifications sent to subsequent owners. And five was the selling of flood or otherwise damaged vehicles. Let me point out that these are all legitimate issues facing consumers today on both U.S. and Canadian vehicles. They're not characteristics of only Canadian imports. And we agree that the enforcement of the existing laws that are already on the books that address them should be made. None of these Canadian vehicle issues, and I say that in quotes because they're not just Canadian vehicle issues, are being addressed or put to rest by allowing Section 1 to pass as written. Importation of Canadian vehicles will continue. Used car dealers will still buy 2001 and 2002 Canadian vehicles and resell them in Alaska. Why? Because it's legal and it makes good business sense, and the supply and demand is there to support it. New car dealers will still buy current model Canadian vehicles when they can't get a particular type of vehicle from their manufacturer, and they'll still sell them here in Alaska. So the fact is, each of those issues that were brought up are already addressed in Alaska statutes. It's Section 345.50.147, I believe. And business advisories from the Attorney General's office. And they're already regulated by the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, the U.S. Department of Transportation, the U.S. EPA, U.S. Customs, and they must comply with federal motor vehicle safety standards. The issues are already handled in other areas. Apparently, there seems to be a sympathetic attitude towards local franchise dealers and the investment that they have made with their respective franchises. The picture being painted is that there's no way of competing with the prices of Canadian vehicles. Aside from having a showroom and parts department and body shop and other convenience factors that customers can appreciate, the exchange rate from Canada to the U.S. is favorable, but franchise dealers have access to factory-subsidized interest rates. You see 0% advertised all the time. It's very difficult for us to compete with that because we have local lenders. Factory rebates in excess of $3,000, $3,000, $4,000 on some vehicles. Holdback and dealer-only incentives for moving specific vehicles. And then they also have factory-backed advertising. You see Ford, Chevy, Dodge commercials on TV all the time that your local dealer didn't necessarily pay for. Once you compare the facts, new car dealers have as good a bottom line price as used car dealers, but are unwilling to accept the same smaller profit margin. The only objective Section 1 will meet is the elimination of competition from used car dealers with new car dealers. We, used car dealers, will no longer be able to bid against our fellow dealers for current model vehicles at various auctions or in any situation that's not a private owner or a rental vehicle because we won't be able to sell them. In the last 4 to 5 years, used car dealers in Alaska have evolved from the dirt lot with 20 to 30 cars for under $10,000 to paved, well-lit lots with 100 or 200 high-quality vehicles. We've sliced out a chunk of the new car dealer's pie, and that's why they support this section. If their past customers had been treated well the last few decades, maybe we wouldn't be so successful. So you might wonder, why aren't we happy with cars from rental fleets also? Well, let's look at the type of inventory that a rental fleet carries. They carry sedans, minivans, and a few sport utilities. When was the last time you saw a rental fleet with a bunch of Eddie Bauer Ford Expeditions or three-quarter ton crew cab diesels?
Ms. Petrum, I don't want to cut you short. Those bills mean that session's going to start? If I notice you're reading.
No, I only have a page left.
Okay.
One page, and I've already got through two.
I want to get Mr. Leiberger in here, too.
Okay. So those are the vehicles that Alaskan buyers are looking for. They want the trucks and the bigger sport utilities, not the sedans and minivans. Used dealers also use local lenders. 90% of the time we use Alaska USA, Denali, Credit Union One, Alaska State employees. New car dealers, when they sell a new vehicle, they primarily use outside, out-of-state factory lending institutions like GMAC, Ford Motor Credit, Chrysler Credit, with subsidized rates, 0%, 2.9. Again, a 2003 is obviously a more expensive vehicle than a 2001. When you limit the used car dealers to just a few current model vehicles that they can sell and arrange financing for, you're also hurting Alaskan banks and credit unions' portfolios. They're missing out on the high-dollar 2003 loans. Right now, Alaska's credit unions have some of the lowest rates in the country, like 4.99% with Alaska USA, and support from their local dealers is a big factor in keeping the rates low. Just this year, January, February, March, and April, and just this little bit of May, our dealership alone sent the local banks $12,925,991 in high-quality loans. And I say high-quality because usually you have to have good credit to buy a $30,000 truck. Since the 2003s cost more than the older models, it's safe to say, since they're bigger loans, that about 50% of that money was on current models. So that's $6,500,000 of lending money that went to local institutions that won't be there.
If you're reading from your testimony, it's best to submit it. Because we do have to get this Mr. Leibert in front of town, too.
Okay.
Can you just wrap up?
Yeah.
Let her wrap up with Representative Grunberg, and then we'll get to your question.
No, I was going to ask you.
Yes, Representative Grunberg.
If we're going to hear this bill this afternoon, would they be able to stay till this afternoon? We could hear them.
Well, Ms. Leiberger, can you come back this afternoon?
We're not skipping.
Would you please then continue your testimony?
Okay. It's not just us. There's also other dealers, affordable, quality, budget, Philhaz, Variety, that's just to name a few. So there's that chunk of money that are coming from those dealers also. Also, when an Alaskan bank has a current model repossession that they want to recoup some of their losses on, like a first payment default, the customer never makes a payment, they want to sell at an auction or wherever this vehicle, how many dealers will they be able to ask to bid on that vehicle? Say, for example, a Cadillac or a Mazda, there's only one in Anchorage. So basically, they have to take what that dealer gives them for the vehicle. They can't send it out to bid and get the most money back on their loss. Used dealers also spend millions of dollars with local independent mechanics and parts suppliers. New car dealers get all their parts from the factory, or the large portion of it. So how exactly does Section 1 help the state of Alaska, its people? Aside from taking a huge chunk of money away from local Alaskan businesses, lending institutions, it ensures that the 1995 and the 2995 additional dealer markup sticker or addendum sticker that you see on new vehicles will stay. It also forces any intelligent car buyer looking for a good deal on late model vehicles to spend their money out of state and have the vehicle shipped from Washington or Idaho or any other state without a law prohibiting competition. Every $1,000 that a customer saves on a vehicle is $20 disposable income every month in their pocket to spend on whatever else they choose to spend on. So I thought we were trying to stimulate the economy and increase consumer spending in Alaska, not stifle it. So in conclusion, after browsing through the already existing Alaska statutes and the handout that Jim gave you, you have to ask yourself what the real intent of Section 1 is, and is it fair and just? And wouldn't your constituents appreciate the chance to make their own decision on where they'll buy a current model vehicle? I would submit that Section 1 needs to be removed from House Bill 272 or rewritten without the words current model. Thank you very much for your time.
You're in recess to call the chair. Thank you very much.